Good morning. We're humming, it's not me. Golly, that worked. I put my hands up and silence came. I must do that again. Welcome to our cafe church this morning. Is it a bit loud? I've got a lot of whistly noise. Thank you. Oh yes, that's better. Yes, welcome. Cafe church, quite obviously cafe church this morning. Just to say, as a welcome you to this service, we don't have fairies called Pluck and Plenty that put the furniture out and take it away at the end. So we're putting together a little rota, which will be in the notices, if you think you could help once a month on a Saturday morning. Can't you? Is that better? Is that better? Right, sorry. I am doing. It's actually feeding back to me. I can hear me. Right. So welcome, Cafe Church this morning, obviously. The church was put out as Cafe Church by four people, and it took us 15 minutes, and we weren't that fast either. So thank you to those that came. But we're trying to put together a little group of people just once a year, because we only have about 12 of... No, during the course of a year, if you only do it once, if you've got lots of teams, it's once a year, isn't it? Make it sound better. it's not every month, because we have a number of gentlemen who will help us, and the girls can put the chairs out. But we do ask at the end of this service, the fairies that did it on Saturday afternoon, some of them are here, but not all, so could we all help put the furniture, the chairs back as they normally are, and the tables back on the stand? That would be lovely. We've no overhead projector, so the notices that you took online, please do read them, because I've just looked and there's loads of interesting and informative information inside them. And I can't go through it all, but do read it yourself. Just to remind us that next Sunday, John Wiseman is coming to preach, and there's lunch after church. If you've signed up, there's still one sheet out there. If you haven't done so already, please do so, so that we'll know how many are coming, and give John a good welcome back home to where he came from in his previous ministry. And also that the film club is on Saturday afternoon beforehand. It's every other fortnight week now, so it's this Saturday at 2 o'clock. I can't think of anything else. If I have forgotten, I apologise. But we do welcome Ros to lead us in Cafe's Church. That's why the hymn books are on the table, by the way, because there's no overhead projection, so we're using hymn books this week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judith, and good morning. There's obviously some kind of gremlins in the system this morning, but I'm sure we'll manage. It's really good to see you all on this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning, and it's even better that God is here with us and that we are all going to know God's presence during this service as we think about the fruits of the Spirit. That's the theme today. That's what we're going to discuss. We're going to reflect in our hymns and in our prayers. So let's come before God in prayer as we begin. Lord, we live in a world of change. Every day is filled with uncertainty. We're surrounded by the twists and turns of life, and we often feel we have little or no control over things that happen to us. Lord, we come now to stand in your eternal presence. We come to you to find ourselves, to find our way, to find hope, and to ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us. We come to you because in Christ you first came to us. Amen. And we sing together. It's hymn number 152. 152. This is the day.
This is the day.
And so we come to our opening prayers. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are glad to come and worship you, glad to stand in your presence and give you the honour due to your name. You are greater than our highest thoughts, mightier than we can ever comprehend, before all, in all, and beyond all. So we come acknowledging your greatness, marvelling at your power, rejoicing in your love, celebrating your blessings, and praising you for all the mercy you have shown to us throughout our lives. Accept now our songs of praise, our words of prayer, the thoughts of our hearts, this act of worship. Teach us more of all you have done and will continue to do. And help us to show the sincerity of what we offer now by the way we live our lives tomorrow and in the days beyond. Praise and honour, thanksgiving and worship are yours by right, now and forevermore. Amen. And a prayer of confession. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We are called to freedom. O loving God, as we celebrate the life you have given us and the freedom we enjoy, we bow our heads before you to acknowledge that we have often squandered this most precious of gifts. You have given us freedom to worship, but too often we have ignored you. We have sought your ways, but closed our ears when we didn't like your prompting. Our words, deeds, and thoughts, all these gifts you have given us, but we have abused our freedom and not followed your example. For the sake of Jesus, who made the right choice to face Jerusalem no matter what the cost, in the Spirit's power who lavishes gift upon gift that we may be truly free. In the name of our Creator who from our birth has called us to be free. Set us free by your power and great love, we pray. And the assurance of forgiveness. For freedom, Christ has set us free, for you are called to freedom. If the Spirit sets us free, we shall be free indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And a blessing over the offering. Again, Lord, we give you our thanks for your generosity to us day by day. We offer you the gifts of money that have been brought today, those that are sent via the internet. And with them, we offer you our lives as a living sacrifice. Use all of these, we pray, Lord, to build your kingdom in this place and this community to the glory of your name. Amen. And now Margaret will bring us our reading this morning.
The reading is from Galatians chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 13. Life by the Spirit. You, my sisters and brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. And so let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many fruits of the Spirit are there according to Galatians? A bit more than seven? Nine fruits of the Spirit. What are they? Shall we see if we can say them from memory? I know we'll probably know the first few, won't we? Let's see. So we say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list. It's a list of examples of the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit can grow in us, each of us and all of us. And the more of each of these fruits of the Spirit that we display in our lives, the more our lives shine with the love and glory of God. The more we become like God in our dealings with the world, the more we are able to reflect God to others. And that is, of course, what we are about. We are made in God's image, and through God's gift of the Holy Spirit, we're able to grow into the image so that others can see God in us. And in seeing God in us, people will want to know God for themselves. It's a lovely list, isn't it? Those few lines from Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit part, are poetic, attractive, and they sort of roll off the tongue, don't they? They're pleasing on the ear. But they have to be more than that, don't they? They can't just be a list of words to be read out or read on the page or read out into the ether and forgotten the moment they leave our lips. They are an invitation to life in all its fullness, an invitation to becoming who God, in God we can be, an invitation to living well in the world as a human being, as a family member, as a friend, as a citizen, as missionaries of God, as God's ambassador to humankind. And the Spirit, given the opportunity by us, is able to grow these attributes of God in us so that each one becomes part of our character more and more and more. And not just, of course, our church on Sunday character, but our everyday character, our character when things are going well and our character when things aren't. But this list isn't meant to discourage us in any way. It isn't a stick to beat ourselves with. It is an invitation from our gracious God, who knows us better than we know ourselves. We're not hidden from God. God sees us as we are, warts and all, and loves us just the same, with an eternal, never-ending love. But God doesn't want to leave us as we are, because God sees who we can be in Christ. And just because God loves us doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't need to change. If anything, God's love for us illuminates how much we do need to change, each one of us, all of us. In God's light, we often see our own imperfections more clearly, and that's hard, isn't it? And we know that God offers us a better way, a Christ-like way to be. But I wonder what each of us understands by the fruits of the Spirit, the ones that we've just read, love, joy, peace, and so on. We each of us will have an understanding, an image that comes to mind immediately for each of these fruits. And I guess that we all expect that we think exactly what Paul meant, and therefore exactly what God intends. And also, I imagine that we think that everyone else understands in exactly the same way as we do. But of course, we all hear and interpret words differently in different contexts and through different lenses, depending on our experiences. So I thought it would be interesting this morning, in the presence of God, to dig a bit deeper into each of these fruits of the spirits that are listed in Galatians, and find out the scope, the width and breadth of the meaning that we can attribute to them, and how hopefully with a broader understanding we can apply these to our lives individually and together here. So on your tables you have a list of the questions to, or discussion prompts, which are, what do you think? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring round one of the fruits of the Spirit for each table, but we need 9 groups to make sure we cover all of them. So I'll put one on either end of some tables. So you'll have one to look at, and we're going to ask each other and discuss, what do you think St. Paul meant by this particular fruit of the Spirit? What do you understand by it? What examples can you give of seeing this fruit of the Spirit in your life or someone else's life? And what is the most challenging interpretation you can think of? What's the most challenging interpretation of the word? What does love mean? Beyond the obvious of loving the people who live in your house, maybe. What are the limits of forgiveness? What are the outer limits of these words, these meanings, these fruits? And what would it look like for you and our fellowship to have more of this fruit, whichever one you're looking at, in your life and in our life together? Is that okay? And at the end, we'll have some feedback, but particularly wondering about the challenge that these words, that these fruits present to us. Okay? There is paper on the table. Those pieces of paper on the table are just for making notes on. So they're not actually a clue to what we're talking about. Oops. Oh, dear. Whoops. What are you going to do? Can you do 2? Can you do 1 at each end? Got enough. Joy. Can you do joy?
Oops, I think you've got one. You've got peace, haven't you? Do you think you can do two? Can you do goodness? And can you do love at this end? Is that okay? So do you, if you might need some more paper. So if you can be two groups, that would be great. Two separate groups. Lovely. And we'll give just over 20 minutes, so till about 11:15. Everybody's got the need. Just stop the talking. Oops.
I'll justify gentleness to this group.
Okay, it's quarter past and you're still really discussing these. It's been really interesting as I've walked around and just sort of listened. I think we'll just work around the room and see what people might like to feed back, particularly thinking about the challenge of these words, but whatever each group would like. So we'll just go round the room. Oops. So we've got gentleness over here. Anne, are you feeding back?
Yes. Well, it's difficult to distinguish between a feeling and what St. Paul wanted, isn't it, really? But we think that he wants us to behave like Jesus. And that's what he's trying to teach us through this gentleness.
So gentleness is behaving like Jesus.
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Who's feeding back here? We've got two. We've got self-control. Have you all done both together?
Yes.
Hope you. Okay. So self, are you feeding back for us?
Well, I didn't know I was.
You didn't know you were.
Down, yeah.
Somehow you looked away and the papers are in front of you now.
Well, no, I wrote this down, but I wasn't banking on feeding back, so we've written quite a lot.
Sorry, I don't know why that's... I'll just work out. I don't know why that's doing that. Okay. So should we do self-control? What do you want to tell us about your group, self-control?
Not responding with violence or emotional violence. And in Paul's time, it was probably about physical violence. But now there's a social media context. And Paul is writing about a church divided by factions. So his letter is guidance to help communities live together. So that's self-control. Have I missed anything out?
Thank you. And you've got kindness, you feed back kindness?
Yes, about positive actions led by the Spirit. It's a challenge, and the fruits of the Spirit are do what we really want if Christ dwells in us. And kindness is to do to others what we would like done to us, or going the extra mile, putting yourself out to help others. Bullying is the opposite of kindness, and bullying can be physical or emotional. And kindness and self-control, particularly important in the context of social media.
Thank you. That's interesting, that, isn't it, to think about exactly things Paul could never have imagined, like social media, but how do we live as Christians in a world of social media? Thank you. Faithfulness, is that... Oops, I'll come round.
I mean, there's obviously a lot of commonality when you start to talk about these fruits. And we, in terms of faithfulness, we said it was living in accordance with God's will and the teachings of Jesus in our daily lives. Sorry, I haven't written that much down from what was being said. And examples of that would be supporting the church, by our attendance and our witness, and supporting our partners if we're in a relationship, in a marriage. And then an extreme example of being faithful is those people who live in places where there's persecution for their faith and they suffer all sorts of pressures on them, and ultimately some are put to death. And that's the extreme example. I mean, that's happened to Christians in India, I think it was. Got it the right way round fairly recently. Does anybody want to add anything to that? We split down the middle, so we only did faithfulness.
So that's faithfulness, thank you. Yeah, it does, when you think about the faithfulness of Christians in other parts of the world. Yeah. Thank you. So we've got forbearance.
So we thought forbearance meant tolerance towards others and a degree of patience and acceptance of another's point of view. And we thought that that would apply in similar ways in St. Paul's time and at the moment. So we thought he might be meaning towards people with other beliefs. and that also applies now to people with other political views. It was also pointed out that it's very necessary in communal living, so you might need to show forbearance with other members of your family or non-family if you're living in a place where you maybe have to mix with a larger number of people than you're used to.
Okay, thank you. That's great. So that's forbearance. Joy over here.
We looked at joy and realised that it's joy is a verb. It's doing actions. It's doing kindness to people, including them, acknowledging them, and not ignoring them. So you give joy, you're doing good works. And also that Poynton, we thought, was a place that was joyful. Having lived in different places, we've compared them. Some of us have lived here a long time, others are newer. And that Poynton is a place of joy, that you can walk down the street and someone say, hello, how are you? Or if you feel a bit faint or you lean against the shop doorway, you could be in an ambulance before you know where you are being taken to Stepping Hill. So that's a caring. And that in giving it, you also receive joy back, because it's a half-full glass feeling that's inside you. And it's a doing word, isn't it, really? It isn't a thinking word. It's an action word.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. And peace?
We talked about different kinds of peace. We talked about the tranquility of the individual inner peace. We also talked about peace between other people we know, and national peace and cooperation. And then we went on to talk about peace between nations, ending conflict, and world peace. And we decided that what links all these things is tolerance, usefulness, unselfishness, and lack of envy or jealousy. And we said that what summed all this up was the Ten Commandments. And then, as a footnote, we went on to discuss the national phenomenon at the moment of demonstrations, so-called peaceful demonstrations. And the premise was that there's no such thing as a peaceful demonstration, because demonstrations always affect the tranquility of other people as they go about their regular lawful business.
Thank you. Well, I was over here when you had that discussion for the back. I think there were some other voices on demonstrations as well. Was there any other view in this group?
What did you say about demonstrations?
Well, basically, if you feel very strongly about something, You can't make yourself heard without affecting the way people, you know. So the idea of a peaceful demonstration, I accept as an impossible ideal.
But that some are more peaceful than others, yeah. and some are necessary. Yeah. Thank you. Over here, love. Oh, we're going up here. So you've got love and goodness.
We looked at goodness and love together, actually, and we felt that goodness was a combination of all the fruits of the Spirit, overarching everything that everybody's talked about. That's what we think Paul meant by it. What do you understand by it? We thought it was goodness and love is how we treat others and ultimately how we organise our own society. Examples of love and goodness could be, for example, hopefully a parent and child relationship, the love and the, you know, how you bring your children up. And examples of seeing those in people's lives are all the charitable work that's done, the volunteering work, all the professions, not just teachers and healthcare workers, but all the professions that do. We thought there was goodness and love in every profession, and there's also badness and not so goodness in every profession. And I think what it would look like for you and our fellowship, I think we had a conversation that we've moved to a society that we're very negative, that we're very critical. You watch the news and it's only bad news stories. There aren't, you know, they used to save a good news story for the end, but rarely we see that now. And even in our own church, I think what you've brought in, Ros, about sharing the good news stories once a month, you know, I've learned so much more about a church family, and we are a church family, and we shouldn't be afraid of sharing good news. It's not being boastful, it's just sharing the good things that have happened to each of us, and in society, to be more a positive society, and not to be afraid of saying when something's gone well. You know, it's not being boastful, it's just to have some good news balanced against all the negativity that we grow up with.
Thank you. Thank you. Lots and lots and lots of things to think about there. Thank you. So, is there anybody who would like to sort of sum up the discussions and the feedback we've had all together? Is there anybody who thinks they can? It's a big question. Existing and becoming more like Jesus. I think somebody said the Christian living, aren't they, as well? So, yes, they're all part of the kingdom. So they're all necessary, as you've all said, all part of the recipe, is a good idea, of becoming more Christ-like and living in a Christ-like way, and therefore growing the kingdom. Sorry? No, all of those are good. They're brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for those. And thank you for the discussions. There were some really, really interesting discussions. And it's really interesting when we try and bring these up to date and don't just gloss over them to the next bit, but actually try and think, what does this mean in this time, the time in which we're asked to grow and live in Christ-likeness? Thank you. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing 395, Spirit of the Living God. We're going to stay seated. We're going to sing it through three times as a prayer. So this is the beginning of our prayer, our way into prayer. So we remain seated and sing Spirit of the Living God. 395. 395. And in this, we are asking God to pour out the Spirit upon us. 395. Gracious God, we pray, nurture the fruits of your Spirit in us, that we may bear fruit abundantly and yield a kingdom harvest. Nurture in us a gentle faithfulness that cares for our neighbours, both those near to us and those far away. Nurture in us a generous sense of forgiveness that seeks to forgive and forgive and forgive. And may we know ourselves to be forgiven. Nurture in us a generous sense of peace in our homes and in our places of work and leisure. Not a complacent peace, but a peace that challenges. Nurture in us the desire for self-control in all our relationships, day by day, and bring us to true humility of heart. Nurture in us a firm faithfulness that sees the consequences of our actions for all in our community. Nurture in us an abundance of joy that seeks to celebrate and rejoice in the good news of the kingdom. Nurture in us the gift of patience when our values are questioned and our way of life is challenged. Nurture in us the kindness of loving all those we meet day by day, as you commanded us to do. Gracious God, nurture the fruits of your Spirit in us, that we may bear fruit abundantly and yield a kingdom harvest. To the glory of your name. Amen. And we bring before you, Lord, those who are on our hearts and minds at this time. From our own fellowship, we think of Hilda, of Rita, of Chris, and of Nadia. And in the silence, Lord, we bring before you those who are on our hearts and minds this morning. We pray, Lord, that you will reach out your hand upon each, that they will know your love, your peace, your joy, your comfort. Be to each as each needs, we pray. And we pray before the people of Afghanistan and the earthquake that has happened there. We pray, Lord, for those who have lost family members, homes, and businesses. We pray for those who need to try and rescue people, to replace the infrastructure. And we pray, Lord, that the international community will help if that is needed. We pray, Lord, your presence there. And Lord, we've spoken about the fruits of the Spirit, and we've talked about peace and love and kindness and joy and so many others. And yet, Lord, we know that there is so little peace in some parts of this world. We hold before you the continuing situation in Ukraine. We pray, Lord, that there will be light at the end of that tunnel and the peace will come, but not peace at any price, a just peace. And Lord, we hold before you Israel and Palestine and the situation that is being called a war that has started there. We hold before you all of those civilians, those men, women, and children who just want to live their lives as we live ours, in peace, to go about their business, and now find themselves in a war zone. We pray, Lord, that you will breathe peace in the hearts of all of those who have power in that region. Again, Lord, not peace at any price, but a just peace, so that all people made in your image, can live their lives under justice, peace, and safety. Lord, we offer you these prayers in the name of Christ. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we come to that moment in the month when we do ask people if they have any celebrations that they would like to tell us about and share with us. Anybody got a birthday or an anniversary or anything in October? Some months seem to have lots and lots, don't they? And others are a bit quieter. Well, it's my birthday in October, 26th. And it's your birthday? There we are. So, Anne and myself, birthdays in October. Anybody else? Anything? Yes?
Well, it's not a celebration, but our daughter Mary Ann's written a novel.
Oh. So Sylvie and Richard's, you'll have to give that to the notices so we can put it on the notices. So Sylvie and Richard's daughter published another novel. It was only last year that she published one before, wasn't it? So that's something to celebrate, definitely. Thank you. So we've got some birthdays, we've got publishing of a novel.
Will's 22 on the 4th of October.
Right, so it was Will's birthday, 22 on the 4th of October. It's about the same age I'm going to be. Ish. Yeah. This week, your wedding, and how many years? 55 years. 55 years. And you've been faithful all that time. Have you been patient all that time? No, don't answer. We should, yeah. If we'd known that, we could have just gone through them all with you two, shouldn't we? Well, congratulations. Are you having a big party or anything? No? But you'll do something, won't you? You're not sure. They're just not telling us, I think. Congratulations. Any others? So we have birthdays, we have novels, we have 55 years married.
35 years married
in a... this month. Congratulations. And are you doing anything special? You go to the caravan, have a rest. Okay. Have a great time. Anything else? Okay. So if you think of anything else, we can still share those amongst each other. So we give thanks for marriage. Long marriages. We give thanks for a novel and success for that. And we have birthdays for Anne, Will, Roz. Is that it? Can we sing happy birthday then? Can we sing happy birthday, shall we?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Anne, Will and Rob. Happy birthday to you.
Hooray!
Thank you. And now we stand to sing, as you are able, The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free, number 397. 397. And now a blessing. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. Amen.